The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Is our clinical psychotherapist, and she's going to join me on the line to talk about being left out of group outings and being excluded from friendship groups and how tough it can be, whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're an adult. Steph, you are very, very welcome to the programme. Look,
thank you,
this issue that people have, it actually, it has evolutionary roots, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Part of our survival mechanisms.
Exactly, Ciara. Lovely to talk to you. Just to say, yes, first off, it definitely has evolutionary roots. I mean, you know, being part of a group really was what helped us to survive and what allowed us to survive. So when something happens that makes us feel excluded, something quite deep stirs in us, something that makes us feel like, you know, we're in danger, that actually our very survival, you know, so our sort of deep survival mechanisms start up. And so it really is what we would call a kind of a stress response. Do you know what I mean? It has that sort of shooting kind of adrenaline, that feeling that what's going on, what do I need to do, a kind of a raciness about it.
So we needed to have a sense of belonging in order to survive.
In order to survive. And it had to be real. You had to be in there. You had to have people to protect you, people to guide you and tell you. So it's very deep in us, and it's not going to go away just because we know we're okay and we have our own homes and cars, you know. So that is one of the roots. The other root would be around identity and self-worth, you know, in the more present times, if you like, that belonging makes us feel that we matter. We often talk a lot about being heard and being seen. You hear that a lot, being, you know, in relationships, that it's about being heard and being seen and being and knowing. What does that do? It makes you feel that you really matter. It makes you feel that you are important and that you are valued. So when you feel excluded from a group, could be friends, could be family, could be workplace, could be obviously in secondary schools, in college. You see this, I see this quite a lot in my work. And what happens is really, and depending if you think of it, at what time in your life this happens, you're going to be more sensitive about your identity and your self-worth. And maybe by the time you're 45, 50, you have a lot of sort of, you know, sort of strings to your bow that make you feel good about yourself. But when you're young, you're kind of still grappling with that. And am I good enough? Am I attractive? Am I important enough? Popular enough? Do people love me? And so it rocks that and it shakes that a little bit. Bit like, I often think of it almost like shaking a cage, you know. It's a trellised sort of system that we have inside ourselves that make us feel good, and it kind of just shakes it a little bit and reverberates, and you feel those reverberations in anxiety and tension.
And I wonder if you feel that as a child or as a young person, Stephanie. Is it something that you then carry with you into adulthood and into later life, if you didn't have that sense of belonging and your own place at a young age?
Yes, well, I think that's key. You're right, Ciara. If you have too much of it, like we all get some of it, you're never going to be popular in every schoolyard. You have groups that won't, you know, play with you. But it's about if you have enough of the good stuff to withstand that feeling of being left out. So if you're left out all the time, well, then that becomes a kind of a trauma. And that you will undoubtedly carry in forward, you know, forward to life and to your relationships, romantic and otherwise, probably. But if, on the other hand, you find your own little tribe somewhere, and you find your own little best friend in the yard, and your own girl or guy that you get on well with in secondary school or in college, well, then you have enough of the good stuff, enough of a sense that I'm okay, to withstand when a group of people leave you out. And then you kind of have a little bit of capacity for perspective and looking at it from a distance.
I suppose, given the fact that so many of our young people have those devices in their hands and have social media platforms, that actually nowadays being left out is more heightened, is more acute than ever, because you can actually see it in real time.
Well, this is the key, you know, a really important point. That, I mean, there was a time when you might find out that you were left out, you know, and it might have been 3 months later before you realized it.
And but it's never as painful after the fact. You know, if three months have passed, you don't really mind.
You never really mind. Maybe they had a lousy night out and you'd be delighted with yourself. So it doesn't really matter. You know, you can get over it. But if it's in the moment, you know, you're watching, you know, like teenagers will be watching others getting ready online, so to speak, putting up TikToks, they're all together and they're having fun and you're not in there and wondering why. So it is the digital kind of world and all these platforms, the TikToks, the Snapchat, all that gives them a very, you know, in the moment sense of where they are and they are not being included. And that is definitely very difficult. And as I said, they're at a very delicate point in their life.
We have a texter here. My daughter has recently been left out of a few outings with her friends. She's 12, very sporty and been friends with these girls for years. I think there are social cues missing after COVID and how to treat people. Everything is done over the phones and kids are left unread and ignored if you just don't want to say no to something. Would you agree?
Yes, that everything is done on the phone. And as you know, I think what that person has pointed out as well is that the social interactions, you know, that there's been almost like a chapter has been left out there for some of these younger people in their interactions. They just haven't, they're three years behind or two full years behind. And they like to, you know, they like to do it by text. They like, you know, they like not to interact. You know, they're very happy to do it online. And that is an issue. But another thing, if I can say to that person there, that listener, is that you have to be careful the message you give to the child when they are excluded from something. And we all know, we all have our own background, our own sensitivity as mothers, fathers, whatever. So we know when we were left out. But remember, we do carry that. So you've got to be careful. You don't bring that directly into the situation with your child. So try and help them to have perspective, because that is really what makes a difference. There may be many reasons why you're not included. Don't go to the first, you know, bad thing, which is, oh, they don't like me, I'm not good enough. That's not the first thing. You have to help your child to think beyond that. Now, there may be times that they don't like you and you're not going to be part of that group. And you have to find the people that are your group. I know that can be painful, but it is part of reality in life, isn't it? That you will lose friends. But what a mother or father says to the child, no matter what age it is, that child is a really important message. Mm. And it is about making sure that they move their sort of thinking to think about why else might you not have been there? Were you not in school that day? Did they know you were around? Now, sometimes I know these aren't all the right reasons, and there may be reasons of actively excluding, but often it's not. And we're inclined to move quickly to why am I being left out? And I think you can think about it in other ways, and that can be very helpful. And parents have to be careful not to project, you know, what
we... No, it's really difficult though, Steph. I mean, when you're a child, I have two young children, and if they say at the end, how was your day? And they say, nobody would play with me. I mean, as a parent, your heart actually breaks. You find yourself wanting to go up to the schoolyard or into the Montessori and say, what's going on here? But what exactly do you say to them if they have genuinely been left out? It's not that they weren't there that day or they weren't interested in this particular thing.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't want to play with them that day, or they didn't want to invite them to that night out or that lunch.
Yes. Well, I think first of all, I would say, you know, I would try and help them to differentiate friends and family a little bit. Family are always there, and friends are people you choose to be friends with. They are people you have to feel good with. They have to make you feel good about yourself, and you have to feel happy in their company. And so I suppose you try and help them to break it up a little bit. Now, obviously, there's an age appropriate thing around this. The 8 to 12 is almost the most painful time when this happens. You know, it's the time that the girls or guys would feel it more grievously, because they just have the particular period of development for them. And so I would be very careful there to really kind of help them navigate it a little bit, and to say, well, you know, if people are not playing with you, for example, what are you doing to help them to play with you? Are you joining in, or are you waiting to be asked? Because some people have a very passive way of socializing, and some people have a very active way of socializing. Now, it's your little girl or it's your little boy, and we all find it hard to see with distance. But you know that some kids walk straight in and they go, will you play with me? And they just get to it. You know, others will sit and play and hope somebody will come. So I would definitely be skilling them up. I mean, I've always seen parenting as the business of skilling them up. Give them every little skill they can have to break through that barrier. And because it is a kind of a skill thing, you know, do you initiate, ask her about her You know, do you ask them about their clothes? Do you ask them about where they get those things? Do you ask somebody to help you with your Snapchat? Do you ask somebody if they're going to come to yours? And I know that's sort of play datey stuff, but you know, there are ways to do it. And I think we can presume a lot with kids. And sometimes it's better if we talk it out and help them to think out, is there anything else you think you could do that would make it better?
Okay.
And if she's not nice, girl, if she's not a nice girl, or she's not being nice to you, why do you want to be friends with her? You have to think about that, and you have to help them to think about that.
Okay, so give them confidence and try and empower them in the situation so they don't sort of feel lost and a bit meek in all of this. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, thank you so much for that. Coming.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.